The Cotswold Falconry Centre houses around 100 individual birds of prey at any one time. The centre aims to promote greater understanding of these magnificent birds and to help ensure they continue to be found in the wild, a goal close to the heart of falconer Jeff Dalton.
The dream was if we could learn to breed them in captivity, we could then put them back in the wild. But of course, unfortunately, it's not just a case of breeding them and putting them back in the wild, because the habitat has got to be right to put them back. And unfortunately, the way things are going, it's getting more and more that within 50 years, the only place you'll see certain species is going to be in a situation like this, unfortunately. But I still believe that we should be trying to keep a nucleus of birds in captivity to breed so that they can go back to the wild. And when I say a nucleus, I mean a nucleus of birds which are not imprinted. What I mean by that is they haven't been hand-reared by humans or even trying to do it with puppets to try and confuse them. I want my birds here to grow up in a nest environment, being fed by their parents, so they at least have a start in life to know what life's really about, and then they make good breeding stock themselves. So here we've got various aviaries here containing various birds. The other thing that people sometimes get confused with when they come in here is the size of the aviaries. What is interesting with birds of prey is you mustn't get their aviary too big. We've learned this in the past. If you get their aviary too big, the individual birds will set up their own territory within it and then they'll fight and they don't bond. If you get the aviary small enough so they share the territory, then they bond better. But of course, the other problem with that is if the aviary is too small, then there's a biological problem with the mess they make. And if we keep going in there and cleaning it, it's still no longer their territory because we keep invading their territory. So the aviaries are designed big enough so the natural mess they make can disperse on natural ground. They're open to the elements. They get plenty of sunlight and rain in, which is so important for their feather condition and keep them in a state in which they are good to go back to the wild again. If you keep monocollar them by putting them into closed off aviaries and roofed over, something totally unnatural, then you don't keep a gene pool of birds which are really that good, or you've got more work to do later on. So our aviaries are open to the sky quite a lot, plenty of sunlight, and the sunlight also comes in to break up some of the mess on the ground. The ultraviolet rays will kill off the bacteria, but we try and leave it alone as much as we possibly can. We don't go in there very often, about twice a year into our enclosures. The type of bird we've got, we have to design different types of aviaries for. We have a whole range of aviaries here, from very tall ones for birds which like to glide because they expel more energy and keep fitter than our birds actually fly sometimes, because they have to go from the floor where the food is, straight up almost vertically up to the top of the aviary, for a bird that soars and glides to pump with his wings to get from the floor where the food is up to the nest ledge, which is 30 or 40 foot up. They really have to pump with their wings. Some of the birds out here of the same type, I mean the eagles, they don't fly above a dozen wing beats in the whole of August, because they sit on a post, they wait for a gust of wind, or they do a couple of wing beats across the field, they find a bit of warm air, lock their wings out and ride the thermals up to 1,000 feet, and then when they're nice and high we reward them for doing it, so we show the public what's happening and they come back. Some of the aviaries, the breeding aviaries, are also secluded aviaries, and it's designed that way so you can only see them through a little peephole. It's designed for types of birds that like to live in a very secluded area. For example, some hawks, they live in the densest part of the wood, and they're sat in the wood in an area where you can't see more than a few yards because there's a tree in the way, and behind that tree is another tree. So they've got a very secluded part of the wood. If there was too much movement going on, they wouldn't feel happy to breed. Another classic one, of course, is the peregrines. Peregrines in this country, thank goodness, are doing quite well in the wild at the moment, they are. And consequently, they are using up all the nest sites that were easily available. Now they're looking for more unusual nest sites. But if you go back 30 or 40 years ago, you'd only ever find a peregrine basically on a cliff face looking out to sea. Now, you can't get much more boring than a cliff face looking out to sea. Not a lot of movement going by. And that level of seclusion is very important for them to feel that they want to breed. We also here have the barn owls that come and go when they want, but they still choose to come in, because if we provide them what they want, they'll always stay. You can't see into their nests, so what we've done, we put an infrared camera into their nest site so you can actually see the little chicks inside the box.
That's Jeff Dalton from the Cotswold Falconry Centre.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.